Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7.04 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Hope you're having a good start to your day out there, everyone. We're going to have some fun today. We got a bunch of things to get into. We got some random facts and some different stories I want to touch on involving cholesterol. Good cholesterol.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound like a good story.
Gas prices. Not all of them are good stories. Not all.
Okay.
Did I make it sound like they were all good stories?
Well,
not all good stories.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a Tuesday. We want to start off with something good.
We have some good stuff to start off with, all right. I got something really good to start off with. We're going to find out about some people, what they think of themselves. We got that coming up. Random facts, as I mentioned. We got other things we'll get into as well. 7 o'clock hour, that ain't right. Good stories of the day. We'll get in some of those. And of course, our national day of calendar. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And in the 9 o'clock hour, good stories of the day, that ain't right stories. That's where a lot of our good stories will be. And then we also will be joining in, being joined today by the Evangelical Free Church. We have Pastor Bill and Danita Carlson joining us. Danita's with the Mary's Place.
Okay.
So we'll be talking about some of the things they will join me, and we'll talk with them for a little bit. Looking forward to that.
Wonderful.
10 o'clock today, more conversations with our guests from Morning Magazine. We kick off the week of Morning Magazine, a short week, but we have in with us today in part one, Taylor Schaefer. She is the 75th annual Dallas Allison Dairyland.
Oh, nice.
She'll be here in person, too. So
oh, wonderful.
It'll be fun to get to meet her and get to know her, our newest Allison Dairyland.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrap up with Sue Sipple from the Executive Director of the Family Center. Any chance to talk to Sue, I'm going to take it. One of my favorite people in the world to talk to. All that coming up for you. And then we have some sports on the radio for you a little bit later. At 7:06 on our sister station, WIRI, Lincoln Girls Basketball hosting Oshkosh West. It's a ball night, everybody.
Woohoo.
Randy and Don going to run that one for you. You know it's going to sound good with those two running the game. Have a good time. Have a good call, Randy and Don. Hope it goes well. And roll Lincoln. I don't care if I'm biased on this one. That's my alma mater. I graduated from there. So I think you could be biased about some of these.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. Nothing against Oshkosh West, but go Lincoln.
You are a homer.
I definitely am. I make no bones about that. I've been very clear about that. There's a couple things I've been very clear about on the air. I act from time to time, and I kind of like it. I'm a homer, and I'm not that intelligent. I've never lied about any of those things. I've never, not once have I lied to the audience. But how are you doing today, Mo?
I'm all right. It's Tuesday.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, as the head of our news, I appreciate you clarifying that. We officially know now that it is definitely Tuesday.
You know, somebody had to say it.
Somebody had to make it clear.
I just thought I'd
nobody
point
believes
that out.
Me when I say it. So I mean, it sounds so much more, you know, professional coming from you.
It's Tuesday.
So I'm going to tell the audience right now. You guys can take a nap if you want, because for the next half an hour, I'm going to talk Melissa's ear off about her show that she was just in. This is the first time her and I had a chance to be around each other in person.
In person.
I was going to do this as a joke. I was going to, my plan was last night, I was thinking about it, and I know that for the audience to look behind the curtain a little, I come in and Mel's already here working her tail off on the news. And very busy doing it, too. I usually, anything I have to tell her about the show, unless it's, you know, really, really important, I usually tell her right before she comes in. I was going to burst in there as soon as I walked in and sit right down and start telling. So what I really appreciated about your performance was how you didn't make her, you didn't try to make her likable. Like a lot of character, a lot of times you're doing a solo piece and whether the character is likable, dislikable, whatever, people take a side on. See, this is what I was going to do, everybody. And the reason I didn't do it is because the joke wouldn't have landed. I would have come in there and I actually would have done it. I was just going to do it as a joke and sit down for like 5 seconds and then get up and let you do your thing. I would not have been able to sit there for 5 seconds. I would have jumped right into it like I just did just now. But as long as I can say it one more time, just fantastic performance. Very,
thank
very
you.
Impressed with the
thank
work.
Well, I appreciate that.
Have you been able to relax yet?
I don't think so.
No.
It's still kind of all just bouncing around in my head. I don't know. It's one of those things you kind of got to wait a week.
Have you gotten good feedback from the performance? Have you gotten good feedback from the, you know, not
everybody that came said good job.
Good.
You know,
very good.
They seem to enjoy it. Nobody walked out, so
yeah.
That's something.
Well, and honestly, in all seriousness, you know, we talked about this yesterday a little bit and everything, but supporting local theater is very important around here to us, the arts in this area. And then something unique and that does not happen that often with the studio theater productions, we really want to show, hey, this can make money. This you can do this, and this will be successful. And I think that you and WRCT pulled that off over these performances and
from,
everything.
From what I've heard, yep.
Yeah.
We didn't create a deficit, so.
You know, it's good. Nice when you, because that's what I usually do my productions. I get a little like crazy backstage. I end up breaking things and end up, you know, like, hey, we actually lost money on this production. but yeah, that's good to hear that it went well. I heard great things from people in the community.
Thanks.
And yeah, we're looking forward to you doing another one of these next month. No, I'm joking.
I do believe Mystique is doing one in January.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought it was January.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm looking forward to talking with her, all of us talking with her, bringing her on the air, talk with her a little bit about that.
Yeah.
May try to get her on Director's Cut. There's a couple of options we have there for that.
Nice.
So looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to go over our scheduling a little bit for the week, Melissa.
Okay.
Because, of course, we have a holiday this week.
We do.
So let's let everybody know about how things are looking this week. So, again, today we've got covered. For tomorrow, we're going to, of course, have Seth and Melissa in with us. We'll get the gang together. That'll be fun. We always enjoy hanging out together. And during Morning
Magic. You enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. Yes, you're absolutely right. I have no idea if you and Seth enjoy it at all, but I definitely enjoy it. And I enjoy sitting back and watching you two be brothers and sisters. Wednesday, Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel will be with us. That means the Wisconsin Raps Community Media will be in to record as well. Looking forward to seeing Taylor and the gang.
Mm-hmm.
And then in part two, we catch up with the ODC.
Oh,
it's going to be a great way to wrap up our week before, of course, Thursday, where is our holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, also some sports on the radio right here at WFHR at 12:30 on Wednesday. It is a ball night, or afternoon. Wisconsin men's basketball versus Dayton, part of the Battle for Atlantis tournament.
Mm.
And then on WIRI, Marquette is going to be taking on, well, we'll find out together because I did not see who they were exactly, who won the game from the Rocket Mortgage Tournament. I'll check that out before we wrap up today. But we'll find that out. And, you know, that's who they'll be playing on Wednesday.
Okay.
I believe they won. I'm pretty sure they did. And then on Thursday, of course, no shows. No shows on Thursday. I'm saying this just as much for the audience as for myself, because I will be here at 7 in the morning on Friday, Thursday, thinking I'm running late. I'll be the white rabbit. I'm late. Thursday, we do have some fun stuff lined up for you, though. Due to the holiday, WFHR will air Up North News from 7 to 8, and then the Earl Ingram Show from 8 to 11.
Nice.
Thursday and Friday, civic media programs will be best of due to the holidays, so no live shows, although we will be here live. I don't know if, I hope the rest of civic media understands that WFHR will be live on Friday. looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And keep that in mind, everybody, for that. And then on Friday, we wrap up the week. We will have, Seth is going to be in here with us. And then on Morning Magazine, we'll have our friends from Family Natural Foods in part one.
Wonderful.
And in part two, the best Christmas ever, Jan Peranto is going to be in to talk to us about that.
Oh, good. That's such a wonderful program.
It really is, yeah. So we got some great stuff lined up for you this week. And your holiday is going to be taken well care of here throughout the week, thanks to our friends over at Civic Media and everybody working hard on this, Chuck and Pam and everybody, to make sure that our staff can have that turkey day off.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Looking forward to getting into all those things. So I wanted to dive into this one to kick things off for the show, Melissa. And I think we're gonna find out some things about some people here.
Oh, dear.
File this under You Are What You Eat. A poll of 2,000 Americans found people who enjoy spicy food are more likely to think they're hot, too. I don't know why I like this so much. And maybe it's because it's not even 7:30 yet, and I'm just easily entertained. I don't know. 62% of spicy food lovers find themselves muy bueno, attractive, dashing, if you will.
Ooh.
It's my favorite word to call an attractive person, dashing.
Dashing.
I don't know why, but I've always said, we got to bring that back. I think that's a great term. The poll was commissioned by Frank's Red Hots and go with a new injectable marinade they've been selling for Thanksgiving turkeys.
Hmm.
I really feel like that's a very unfortunate name to name that product. Injectable marinade. Like I understand that it's for turkeys, but
right, and it's appropriately named for its function.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
it's also unfortunate.
Yes, exactly. This is I love. So what level of spice is right for you? The poll found medium is the most popular choice for 36% of us, while mild is next at 33%. 24% like it hot, and only 7% of us don't like any level of spice.
Mm-hmm. So that means if you're going to injectable marinade your turkey, you better make sure everybody coming is going to want a spicy turkey.
And I almost guarantee they won't.
Nope.
I mean, what are the odds? You know, say you have even just 20 people over for Thanksgiving or something like that. I mean, that the chances are it's a good thing, good point to bring up to make sure to ask that first. So here are a few personality traits associated with each spice level. For mild, people are more likely to describe themselves as empathetic and shy. For medium, people are calm, curious, and like cats and dogs equally. Oh, okay.
Don't do that to me when I'm drinking my coffee, man.
I wasn't looking at you, but I would have done it anyway, to be honest. Hold up a second.
So wait, that was medium?
Time out. Yeah, yeah. First, I'm already distracted because what is the difference between mild and medium? Really?
Well, there is a difference.
I understand, but I have never heard, and I've never been brave enough to actually ask. I'm just going to get it out of the way. I don't understand. I've looked at this a lot of times, in mild, medium, and I just look at those. And as somebody who usually grabs one of those when it comes to spices, I'm kind of just dumbfounded. It's like, and I just close my eyes and grab.
And it's different product to product. So as you're talking through this, I'm honestly picturing taco sauce.
Yeah.
Like that's where my mind actual went right taco away. Sauce. Yeah. So the little different colored lids that denote the spice level. I think mild is yellow, maybe?
Or green. No, medium's green usually.
Yeah, medium's green, and then red is hot.
Yeah. Anyway.
I don't know. It was just a nice visual as you're going through that. But read me medium again, because I need to not snort my coffee.
Medium. People are calm, curious, and like cats and dogs equally.
Calm, curious, and like cats and dogs easily.
I don't know where the cats and dogs part comes in. I have no problem with that.
Right? Or the calm, curious.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. For hot people, or people that like hot, hot fans are more likely to describe themselves as creative, confident, and adventurous. Okay, all right. It's that's kind of funny to me.
It is funny in some ways, and in other ways, it's just demeaning.
It has a little bit of both to it, doesn't it?
Because you know, I would love to eat hot stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But my stomach doesn't like it. Number one, and when I get to the point where I can't feel my mouth anymore. Yeah. It kind of takes the fun away for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I grew up where I grew up. I mean, there was nothing that was not spicy or didn't have some kind of flavor to it or that had a punch, you know, or something like that. And I don't know if I got kind of burnt out from it or what it is. But nowadays, I don't mind spicy foods, but I have no interest in burning my mouth. Like, I have no interest in scorching hot foods.
Because it takes the flavor. Understand. Like, you can't taste anything.
All you taste is burning. Like, yeah. I don't understand that. I see that all these fast food places and all these different spots have marketed now, like the hot chicken filet mignon sandwich.
Right.
It'll burn your mouth. You know, there's a picture of a person with, like, a 5-degree... literally, like, you know, there's actual flames. It's not special effects. Somebody is like, there is an actual fire in there. They are part dragon in that moment. I don't understand that. I don't get the point of that.
It doesn't really appeal to me. But, I mean, in some cases, it's kind of nice. Like, if you're eating Takis.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you get to that point where your mouth is so on fire, it's the perfect time to stop. And
it tells you.
Right. You've had a serving.
It's enough.
Right.
It's enough. We do not want to have to call the fire department about your mouth. They are busy. They do not need that.
But it's, you know, it's also a way to limit your calorie intake,
absolutely,
I guess.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. Which doesn't seem like a bad thing.
Yeah. Except for your stomach.
Yeah, yeah. Ain't that the truth? 62% of spicy food lovers find themselves attractive. So take that with you throughout your day, everybody. And this is, I feel like this is a good one to throw out there in the middle of like nowhere. Like you're just sitting down eating with your significant other or something like that. They happen to get a spicy food or you happen to get a spicy. Just out of left field, throw this out there. That's why we go over these things, everybody. I hope the audience knows that.
Give you information, little tidbits.
Little random things to throw into your day just to throw your people off in your day. Just throw them off.
I think you should just, we should make buttons. That you can wear.
Yes.
I like spicy food and I'm hot.
Yes, yes. Oh, yes. WFHR. Yeah, yes. Oh, I like it. I like it. We're going to talk to Steph about this. Right. We're going to get these made. We're going to work on that design while we go to break. We'll come back and get into our National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 7:22 on the clock. It is time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this November 22nd, 2022. There's not too much on the day today, so I thought we'd go back over some of the things that are, you know, celebrated in this month of November, like National Novel Writing Month.
Ah, time to whip out that typewriter.
Yep, this is the month to finally finish that novel you've been working on for 20 years. National Pomegranate Month.
Pomegranate
Month, yes.
I don't know that I've ever eaten a one. Like, by itself.
Oh, they're good.
Yeah, because you pick the seeds out and eat those, right? Mm-hmm.
They are good. I love pomegranate-flavored things, too. Mm. And I know how good they are for you, too.
They're supposed to be really good for you. They're also a little tart.
They are.
Aren't they?
Yes, they are. Okay. They are, yeah. Manatee Awareness Month.
Mm.
It's a great one.
Manatees. They're so cool.
They really are. They really, really are. They're incredibly empathetic animals, too. Mm. It is, of course, National Native American Heritage Month.
That's a good one.
Very good one. Very strong one.
Did you see that they have started implementing dual language signs across some of the state? And I'm looking forward to them putting up more because it's really neat. Because that is, in my opinion, that is the native language to this country.
I think that's a good opinion. I think that's a factual opinion.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Have you seen they've been going around, and it's going to take some time, but they're renaming a bunch of the lakes and hills and different things that are derogatory in that. That's a long time coming, but it's good that they're getting on it.
It is.
National Adoption Month. Another fantastic one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the coolest, unique, the most unique things we have in our culture, and it's been around for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I've got a couple of friends that were adopted, and they speak so highly of it.
That's good.
It is National Epilepsy Awareness Month as well. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was, thanks to Epilepsy Month way back in the day, this is, ages ago, but I learned more about epilepsy. I did not honestly know that much about it, have not had a lot of people in my life affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually thanks to the awareness month of it that I learned more about it. I don't know how often that actually happens. We have these awareness months about something and somebody actually does learn more about something, but I can definitely say that for me on this one. World Vegan Month.
That has definitely become more commonplace that you hear a person being vegan or having a vegan option on menus and restaurants, airplanes.
Do you think it's where we need it to be yet? I don't feel like I can really, I'm the opposite of this, so I don't really feel like I can talk that much about it. To me, it does seem like we've gotten a lot better, but it also doesn't seem like it's become normalized enough.
Well,
you've still got, like, on a personal level, like, it seems like as a country we're better about it, but on a personal level with our families and things like that, we're still running button heads about this stuff. Like,
I think if you take a step further back and you look at diets across the world, that you would judge vegans much less harshly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we all have different things that we like to eat. And if somebody doesn't like to eat meat, they really shouldn't be ostracized for it or made fun of because of it.
I will never understand certain things in life. Why anybody cares what's going on in another person's bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And why anybody would care what's going into another person's stomach.
Unless they're nutrient deficient. You know, if they're not eating enough to health, make them healthy.
Sure, certainly. And I mean, anything, you know, involving hurting another person or hurting themselves or anything like that, right, certainly is the outlier here. But outside of those things,
right,
you're sitting down or you have a relative or a significant other or somebody who doesn't eat the same as you, they're vegan or you're vegan and they're not or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Most times those people can get those things to make them work. But I'm thinking of these times where friends or relatives will call another person out for their style of eating or their choice of eating or mm-hmm. something. And I think that's just as negative. We don't do that about dieting. You know, somebody is on a new diet or something like that, chances are you're not going to give them a hard time about that. And I'm not saying that dieting and being a vegan is the same thing. But again, it's involving some, you know, they're not making you eat it. They're not making, hey, right, I'm vegan, that means you're vegan now. And it's not what they mean.
No, it's a lifestyle choice. But having more options, having those options available, mm-hmm. One thing that drives me absolutely bonkers because I can't do dairy. But very often you'll have they lump gluten-free and they lump it together. Like if you're meat-free, well, you must obviously be gluten-free.
Oh, right, yeah.
And whatever. But they put dairy in non-meat things.
Yeah.
So I still can't eat them. And technically, that's not vegan because cheese is still a animal product.
Right.
More often than not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's just a personal little, you know, pet peeve of mine.
I don't blame you, though. that would anger me, too. Either do it right or don't do it. I mean, mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like they're doing it right. National Peanut Butter Lovers Month. It's another fun one.
I love me some peanut butter. I had peanut butter in my oatmeal this morning with blueberries.
Mm. Nice. And, of course, it is Movember. This is where men grow out our beards to bring awareness towards men health issues, mm-hmm. specifically prostate cancer is the big one. If you do shave, then you're supposed to give a donation to different causes involving that.
Yeah.
I didn't shave, but I did buzz my beard down and did put in a donation last week.
Nice. Well, and it's very important to call attention to men's health because very often men kind of just don't pay attention to that.
Walk it off. Sir, we have to check your... walk it off. I'm fine. Your leg is barely hanging. I'll walk it off, I said. I'll be fine. This is what we do. We've been doing it our whole lives. And I think that the younger generations are getting better about this, about, you know, looking in the mirror and being honest. Hey, my leg is actually falling off. I should probably go to the doctor, mm-hmm. as opposed to my generations and the generations before that, where we just kept walking.
Yes.
There is a line in the sand. I don't think there's anything wrong with having a good exterior and all those things and having a way of you carrying yourself. But there is being also just...
Having a yearly checkup and trying to practice preventative medicine is so beneficial because you can catch things earlier.
Within a couple of years' time, I lost two people to prostate cancer, one of them, of course, being Carl. And I will be... I worked too dang hard to make it this far in my life, physically, mentally, everything. I'm not even going to get into the stuff that I've been through to just survive, literally just be alive. I'll be damned if I'm going to let that take me out. Just, I don't mean the cancer itself. I mean the fact that I'm too much of a man to go in and get that test done.
Mm.
So therefore, because I don't want that, which I do not. I want to make
this
very clear.
I've heard it's a blood test now, though.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
I'll go do it right now if it's a blood test.
It's a blood test.
Look, I'll be honest. I'm not looking forward to getting that test done, but I will definitely get it done because I'll be damned if I'm going to be laying there in a hospital bed dying, looking at my kids and being, you know, well, guys, or my son, too, and looking at them and be like, you know, I'm sorry you're losing your dad, but hey, I didn't want to get that test done. You get it, right? I don't want to have a finger up there. You get it. You know, we all get it, right? Goodbye. You know, I had a good run. You know, that's ridiculous to me.
And now you have no excuse.
Well, now it's a blood test.
It's a blood test.
Really broke some news for me right there.
I just found that out this week.
I had not heard that before. Mm. I really have to look into that. those are good ones, though. Those are good ones to bring awareness to. And then just a couple things for today. It's National Cranberry Relish Day.
Ooh. Do you like cranberry relish?
I'm not sure I know exactly what it is.
Like jellied cranberries at Thanksgiving?
Oh, okay. Yes, I do. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
So
almost got kicked out of the state there for a second.
You almost did. Cranberry sauce cranberry relish. It can be made a whole lot of different ways, but I mean, that's the official page. So you should read that, then I'll chat.
Okay. Everyone knows the sweetness of cranberry sauce during the Thanksgiving holiday, but adding horseradish to cranberries, while it may not sound good, National Cranberry Relish Day is all about celebrating this unusual but tasty side dish in its creation and glory. If you're curious about how this spicy yet sweet dish got started, well, we can tell you a little bit about that. Originally, it is believed that cranberry relish began in the early 1900s in New England. However, the recipe didn't come into full light until the early 1950s. The Splendid Table, a radio program hosted through American Public Media, has helped originally broadcast the recipe to the world, or helped originally broadcast it to the world. Their host, Lynn Rosetto Casper, is the one that shared this information.
I don't know that I've ever had it with horseradish, but my grandma used to make it with, like, cabbage.
Ooh,
cabbage and carrots and cranberries, like whole cranberries.
Mm. That sounds... I would try both of these.
It's interesting.
If I haven't already, because I think I that looks very familiar. I'm pretty sure I have tried this before, but I can't say I know how it was made or anything, though.
Well, and then there's whole fruit cranberries in a can you can get at Thanksgiving time, and then I prefer the jelly cranberries because, you know, it's basically just jelly.
Yeah, right.
Cranberry jelly.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes perfect with turkey.
Yes, it does. It really does. They taste so good together, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's National Go For A Ride Day. Go For A Ride Day encourages you to get out into the world, hop on your bike, into your car, or simply get your walking boots out of storage and go for on a trip. Don't worry too much about where you're going. Just enjoy the journey. With all the cell phones and emails constantly intruding in our lives, we can all agree that everyone needs some time to just get away from it all, feel free every now and then. And what better way to do it than to just go for a ride?
Right on.
This day was so various departments of the transportation industry have been celebrating this since 1904, making Go For A Ride Day a celebration of not only cars but any mode of transportation that strikes your fancy.
Hop on a horse.
Yes. Trains are one of my favorite ways to travel. I do actually like public transportation because I'm weird. But if I had to pick, like, you can only ride one way, horse. easily. I mean, I love driving a vehicle. I like cars a lot. But there is such a freedom. There is such a feeling to riding a horse that when that animal allows you to have that freedom with it, that there's a connection there that I, as a city kid, I just don't get that well, except when you're experiencing it. I don't know how, as a writer, I don't know how I would necessarily describe it, but I know the feeling. Yeah. I can think of it right now. It's just, it's an amazing feeling.
It's a connection you're not going to get with a car or a bike.
Although I will say, I wouldn't have realized this until my last Jeep or anything, but you really can grow an attachment to a vehicle.
Yes. Oh, you absolutely can.
I've seen my dad do it my whole life and different other friends of mine and stuff, but I really hadn't had that happen. I had vehicles I liked. It wasn't until that Jeep Maggie that I had that,
They don't yet... Now this is, you know, considering AI, but they don't yet buck you off.
No.
Like a horse would.
Not yet.
There may come a point where they just stop, the doors open, and your seat goes, floomp, and out you go, but...
I have no doubt, now that you have put that into the universe, that Elon Musk will take that and turn it into some horrible idea. I'm pretty sure that that's it, because he seems to be running out of ideas very quickly, so he's just going to take whatever
we'll
he can get right
now.
Just
keep giving him
bad ones. I don't know. Make him buck, everybody. Are you sure? No, make him buck. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just hoping that nobody realizes that. They used to call me genius.
Used to.
Yeah, used to. We will take a commercial break, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. We got Melissa and James here at 7:41 on the clock. And we've got a couple fun things to get into here, Melissa. Let's dive right into this. What is the max for staying at a guest in someone's home? So what is the max for staying at a guest at someone's home? Here is a question that will become relevant this weekend. What's the maximum amount of time you can stay in someone's home as a guest before it gets annoying?
3 days.
I think that's what I, first thing that popped in my head was 3 days or two nights in 3 days, mm-hmm. you know, or whatever kind of scenario works out. But a weekend, pretty much, right?
Pretty
I mean,
much.
A weekend kind of, and I feel like a weekend kind of is the perfect amount of time for that, too.
Yeah, as house guests. Unless
as
you're
house
like
guests, yes.
grandkids or like yeah. your nieces and nephews come and stay a week or something.
Yeah. Right.
That's totally different. But yeah, no, actual house guests, 3 days max.
According to a new survey, the answer is 4 days.
Hmm.
Yeah. 49%.
They're just being nice.
They are. They are. Absolutely being nice. Yes. They were looking at this survey and looking over their shoulder like, is there my guest here? 49% of people said that that's the cutoff. Here are a few more quick stats on house holiday house guests. Number one, hosting messes with your sleep. The average host loses 2.5 hours of sleep a night in the days leading up to it.
In the days leading up to it?
That's kind of crazy. Well,
I mean,
I guess
if you got to do more cleaning, you got to prep the room, or you got to, in my case, you got to relocate the room.
I mean, whether you're hosting or actually, I know people that stress just as much, if not more, going to some place for a holiday and
mm-hmm.
stuff too.
Staying at someone's house.
So I wonder.
Those are conscientious guests, James. Those aren't the people we're talking about. That you got to give them a limit of nope,
right.
You can't stay more than 4 days. That's
right,
it.
Yeah. guests don't sleep well either. 75% of us feel like we have to go to bed and wake up at the same time as the hosts, even if we're jet lagged.
Well, that's considerate.
Yeah, and I've been there.
Unless you need to go to bed earlier, I wouldn't think that'd be too much of an issue. Unless it's like you just arrived, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, well, you know, I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
I'll see you at 2 in the morning.
In arguably the least most shocking thing I've ever said on the air, I've never stayed at somebody's house and we sleep at the same time. So this has always been
it's
a very...
nobody sleeps.
No.
When you do, James.
Everybody's smarter than me. Outside of babies, everybody is smarter than me. I wonder, with that first one, the hosting messes with your sleep, the average host loses 2 days... I wonder if you know you're going somewhere to stay for a couple of nights, if how much sleep you lose. And in the same way, guests who don't sleep well either, I wonder if the guests lose sleep, this is the last couple of nights I'm going to sleep in my own bed for a couple of days. Like, mm-hmm. if that's stress, just if they, what the averages
anxiety
are.
Anxiety about traveling
yeah.
or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yes.
It's possible.
The best house guests are baby boomers. The poll found they're most likely to be considerate and clean up after themselves. A good lesson to the rest of us that we could all be better about that.
Wow. I mean, I guess I can see that to some extent. The other option is someone who was taught to how to be a good house guest.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would say that most of the people that I've had stay over, this includes my siblings, and their spouses, they usually pick up after themselves and
yeah.
leave a room clean after, you know, they'll fold up the blankets or whatever, ask how they can help.
Yeah, I don't know, the majority of people I know that have that basically instilled in themselves too, mm-hmm. really, and stuff. But that also could be a lot of us raised by baby boomers and yeah. that too, like you were saying,
right.
you know, kind
or
of instilled in
ask,
us and stuff.
Do
yeah,
you want
yeah.
me to make the bed?
Yeah. I will say, too, because I see two sides of this. One, if you're opening your house to others, you have to understand that some things are going to get, you know, messy
right.
and all that. Yeah. I think that's a little unreasonable to not. And on the other side of that, you know you're a guest. You know what it's like to have guests at your home and how you want your home to look after people leave. So you could at least have a little class of respect
right.
when you're in somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Young people don't feel weird about sleeping in the same bed, even under their parents' roof. Most Gen Xers and millennials still kind of do. But 70% of Gen Zers don't feel awkward about it at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I will say that was one when I was younger, in my 20s and stuff, that probably was an issue. Would have been an issue or something. I wasn't in this situation very often, but if mm-hmm. I was, yeah, I could see. When I was young, being a... If I'm at her parents' house, they don't need to have rules. I ain't doing anything. Like, end of sentence, end of discussion. I might hold her hand, but like, but that's the way I was raised. That's the way, that's again, going back to some of these, like, I don't know if that's really my, you know, feelings as much as it is my parents and my grandparents that helped raise me, that kind of thing. I don't know. But I know that that's the way I've always been. And that is, that does not go over very well with the people I've dated, but I'm being completely real about it. No, I have no interest. 7% of people hide their valuables when they have guests just to make sure nothing gets stolen.
Who are you inviting over as your
thank
guest?
Thank you, Melissa. Because, look, I could approach this a lot of different ways, but I will say my family, my dad's side of the family, my Italian side of the family, if you will, we tend to come from the other side of the tracks and have a little bit of a more edge, we'll say, to us and everything. Mm-hmm. But even they would never do something like this. Like, even they wouldn't be going, hey, Aunt Nay, you hiding your pearls? Like, what do you do? Like, no, we wouldn't do this to each other.
Well,
no.
And yeah, that's the other thing, too. What valuables do you leave sitting out and about in your house that you need to put away?
How many?
Worry of somebody stealing it. Like,
I leave my diamond necklace sitting right on the living room floor.
You know,
right,
it's
there.
Just prime for the taking.
I like it there. It goes well. It brings the whole living room together. You're right. Why would you do that? Why would you?
All these very expensive paintings I have on my walls. I'm going to take them down since we have customers, company coming over.
Honey, put the Picasso away. We're having the nephews over. Put the Picasso away. That's a great point. I never thought of it that way. But yeah, we'll take a break right here. We're going to come back, and we got a good story of the day I want to get to right away. And some other fun stuff coming up here with Melissa and James in your mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. And during the commercial breaks, it's known as Inside the Actor's Studio. Poor Melissa. I want everybody to feel bad for Melissa right now.
No, you shouldn't. It's fun.
I really like this story, Mel, and it comes to us from thegoodnewsnetwork.org. I encourage you to go check that out. It's all one word, goodnewsnetwork.org. Besides Joanne McQueen and Marlissa Mercer, besties Joanna McQueen and Marlissa Mercer won $1 million playing the lottery and immediately decided to keep the good vibes rolling by giving heaps and heaps of it away to their community.
Aww.
Identifying several causes and charities in their hometown of Orillio in the Canadian province of Alberta to give fat checks to, local news reports it made a huge difference. First of all, McQueen described the moment that she scanned her ticket at the Lotto Max machine at her neighborhood Shoppers Drug Mart. There was no ring-a-ding-ding. Indeed, there were no sounds at all. The screen simply read $100,000 and a free play. And you got a free play out of it.
Wow.
That's
cool. Bonus.
She recalls being stunned and she began to shake. It was pretty cool, she remembers. I don't play the lottery, really. And when I have, it's been scratch-off stuff.
Right.
I've never...
50 cents.
Yeah. I've never actually, like, played one of those, you know, $1 billion that the whole country gets in on and stuff. And you got to look at your numbers. I've never literally done that.
Me neither.
Okay. All right. So, like, this is really new to me, like, them even describing any of this. And I don't know how I would feel in that moment. Like, genuinely. Obviously, you're going to feel good, you would think, and all that. At the same time, it'd be, like, a little bit more, like...
Overwhelming.
Yeah, and is this real?
Right.
Like, you would think there's got to be, like, a clown comes out.
Is the camera going to pop out from somewhere?
Yeah, big fake check.
You're on candid camera.
Yeah, something. It almost doesn't seem real. I could see not even being in disbelief for a good couple
Denial.
Of minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They donated varying amounts to places that McQueen's brother, who died recently due to alcoholism, might have access during his life, which included Soldiers Memorial Hospital, the Orillia SPCA, the Fairley Foundation, an Ontario-based charity that helps low-income pet owners take care of their animals. Mm-hmm. They also donated to the Salvation Army, the Royal Canadian Legion Poppy Campaign in Orillia, and Marisipo House Hospice, and the Comfire Cat Shelter and Sharing Place Food Centers, which helps economically disadvantaged get access to nutrient-dense fruits and vegetables. That's all? Oh, my God. Like, well, talk about being really smart about this, too.
Yeah.
For the Comfire Cat Shelter, the $10,000 check they received was the fifth highest donation in the no-kill shelter's history.
Wow.
Aurelio Matters reports that the pair plan to split the remainder among their family and friends, as well as take care of some renovations.
That's awesome. Good on them.
I think one of the greatest gifts we can give each other is friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, period. You know, it is all, you know, something I think siblings, cousins, family members, it's a different level of closeness and beauty to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the family we choose, it's always right. Got a special place in our hearts, I mm-hmm. think. And to get to do something like this alone would be pretty darn cool. But to get to do it with your best friend.
Yeah.
Like, man, is that awesome. That's one of the better good stories I think I've ever read, just because of that simple factor there that they mm-hmm. did this together. That's pretty cool. It also is, I don't know how you top this one. It's going to be tough, too. It's going to be a tough one to top, that's for sure. I think that's a pretty cool story, though.
Mm. And it's not super often that you hear stories of people who win really big in the lottery, then turning around and doing really good things with it. I mean, at least I haven't.
No.
Maybe it's out there.
You definitely hear people say, oh, I'm gonna do this and this and donate some of it. But you never hear like the follow up to that, mm-hmm. or like where they donated or if they donated or any of that. And I don't begrudge necessarily that because no. But I'll say I really like that part of this article that mm-hmm. they not only did, but the reporter, the article, Andy Corbelly, did a really nice job of actually asking those questions and finding that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some of it, I suppose, is you don't want to toot your own horn, maybe.
That's where I would be. Yeah. Everything I would do, almost everything I think would be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm very uncomfortable with that stuff. Like just saying earlier, I put $20 the first week in November and then another $30 last week when I buzzed. Even just talking about that, I feel very awkward and uncomfortable. And I feel kind of icky like about it.
Except that you saying that encourages other people to do it, I think.
That's the only reason I talk about this stuff. Yeah. Is the whole...
like, me, look what I did.
Yeah.
And you're not five on the playground, James.
Right.
It's okay.
Well, and let's be honest, it's not like I donated like thousands of dollars either. It's not like, you know what I mean? So there's that part of it too. I do think that you said something like that about it not feeling real and everything. I think that it really would generally take me a little bit to get comfortable with the idea of money, like, even outside of a lottery situation. Like if I was in a situation where, hey, you're going to be making, you know, way like five times more than you've ever made in your life on this or whatever, this job that you're doing or mm-hmm. what have you. I don't even think that would be registered right away for somebody like me.
Yeah.
I've never experienced stuff like that.
Well,
so.
It's not real often that you get a windfall like that.
I don't know. Has anybody else ever thought about this stuff, too? Like what you would do if you were in that situation and stuff? Because I haven't thought a lot about this. I'm not big on window shopping, so I don't think much about being filthy rich or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I do wonder, because most everybody says the same thing. Oh, it wouldn't change me. I'd do this and that and everything. I would love to believe that about myself. And I genuinely do. In my heart, I believe that it would not change my moral compass or my character.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, I'm not 100% on that. I'm about 97%, 98%. But there's that 2% where, like, watch I become some spoiled jerk who, like, you know, just, oh, and I start talking like this, and oh, yes, everything. Like, I didn't even really, wow, Melissa, you're not going to believe this. I won the lottery. It turns out I'm a millionaire. Well, what happened to my voice? All of a sudden I'm talking like this now. That's interesting. How quaint. I've never said quaint before, but now I do. Excellent.
That would be an interesting personality shift there for you.
It does seem like it would be very weird. All
it
of
would
a sudden,
be weird.
Like you, can't, like you wake up in the morning and you have a tie on already. You're like, it just changes certain things about you.
All your clothes are tuxes.
Yes, yeah. Everything's tucked
What's
in.
What's happening? I just want some sweats.
You can't sit down and not eat a fancy meal. Like, I just want
There's caviar on everything.
Yeah, I just want a peanut butter jelly sandwich. Like, here's caviar. Like, where did you come from? Like, you have a butler automatically. Like,
Jeeves, go away.
Yeah. His name's not really Jeeves, but you call him Jeeves.
Of course. Like, well, naturally.
And so he changes his name to Jeeves.
Can't call him Alexa. down the tubes.
We definitely are not going to be able to offer you $1 billion or anything like that. But man, we have something fun we're giving away, Melissa.
We do.
And we're getting closer and closer to this.
Yes. So you need to get down to Hoozles at the Lakes, La Taqueria, Jennings, or Piggly Wiggly and get your name in for the New Year's Green Bay giveaway. These are club tickets, people. And I don't know, but apparently they're great.
They are.
So you'll stay warm.
Yes.
Probably food and drinks available. I don't know how, but shows you how much I know. But yes, we have these four locations where you can put your name in each one. And then one name will be drawn from each location. They will receive a $50 gift card from that business and become a qualifier for the Green Bay giveaway. And they will draw one winner announced on November 30th. So you have until November 28th. That is approximately not even a week.
Not even a week away.
Not even a week. That's Monday. You have till Monday to visit Hoozles at the Lakes, La Taqueria, Jennings, or Piggly Wiggly.
If you have not already registered, get on over to those places, buy local, support local, say hi to the people at those establishments, and get in on this, the Great Green Bay giveaway. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll all be joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center, get an update on Mother Nature, and plenty more coming up on Mornings at WFHR.